Sustaining alive. Sustaining alive.
Sustaining alive on 95 BFM.
No, you like that tune, did you?
That's a Norman humming along.
Normally we would have Rita Steele, but we do have Russell Norman on the line. Kia ora, mate. How's it going?
G'day. How's it going?
Not too bad. Not too bad. For a Monday.
Now, Rita has lined up this little conversation. I wasn't actually too sure. When does the budget from the government usually come out? Isn't it a bit later in the year? Is it around May?
Yeah, it normally comes out in May. We don't have the actual date yet, but sometime in May.
Now, Russell, you've obviously left politics, but you're heading up Greenpeace in New Zealand. What sort of work are you doing, and why are we starting to think about the budget in February?
Yeah, I mean, Greenpeace in Aotearoa, we work on, agriculture is obviously a huge part of our work because it has such a dramatic impact in terms of climate emissions and biodiversity. And then oceans is another big part of it. So particularly on the biodiversity front, most of New Zealand's biodiversity is in the marine environment. So when those fishing companies are out there dragging the bottom, they're causing devastation, really. So, and then we do quite a bit on plastics. So they're kind of our priority areas, if you like. But the budget's important this year because if you think about this government we have, the first term arguably was a bit constrained by New Zealand First being part of it, particularly when it came to oceans, but some other things as well. Whereas in this term, it's a majority Labor. They've got a straight, simple majority. And so if they're promising, as Jacinda Ardern did in her election night speech, that they're going to build back better after the COVID crisis in terms of things like climate change and biodiversity, then this budget is really the first opportunity to demonstrate that in cold, hard cash.
Mm. What are the key areas? I mean, obviously you've rattled off biodiversity and carbon emissions and so forth, but what do you reckon, what is the government, where are they going to put their money where their mouth is on these issues?
Well, I mean, if you think about climate change, then New Zealand's emissions are the biggest one by far is agriculture, and then the second is transport. And so the transport is about fundamentally changing the kinds of investments. So the New Zealand upgrade, which the government did a bit over a year ago, before we went into the COVID crisis, that was largely more motorways. That was the major part of that investment. It was basically picking up the National Party transport policy and implementing it. And so, when you invest in more and more motorways, you just have, obviously more emissions, but also all the congestion and everything else.
Yeah, it's very much a band-aid kind of fix, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Build another lane on the motorway, and guess what? All of a sudden, you just get more traffic.
Yeah.
So what we're looking for is a genuine investment in the alternatives, particularly like cycling. As we saw during the lockdown, cycling is a key part of it. So we need networks of cycle networks, separated cycle networks across all of our major cities. So it's relatively cheap compared to motorways, because motorways are amazingly expensive. But nonetheless, it's going to take significant investment from central government to make that happen. And it's not happening. It's going very slowly at the moment. Likewise, when you look at mass transit, even though mass transit has taken a bit of a hit during COVID, and there are still obviously issues about wearing masks and all that, we still know that rail, bus, critical for getting transportation in our major urban centres, which is both low emissions and doesn't make our cities unlivable because they're full of cars everywhere.
What do you think the chances are of Auckland getting a really good rail network, a big loop that links everything together?
A monorail, John? Is that what you're asking for?
the first step was the city rail link, so, which is the inner city loop, if you like, but makes the whole network work better because, at the moment, pretty much a dead end. So every train you put in there, you've got to get it back out through the same tunnel. So by pushing through the circle, you can immediately double the capacity of Britomart. So finishing that is critical. And so, me and lots and lots of other people campaigned for many years to get that project up and running, and it's being built right at the moment. So that's one part of it. Beyond that, there is an expansion of the rail network. We need to look at what the tunnel across the harbour has, and it's got to be a rail tunnel. Ooh. It can't just be a car tunnel. And then what does the rail network on the North Shore look like? So there's a lot to the transport, a puzzle in Auckland, but we've got the guts of it already. It just does require central government investment. And so they've put aside a huge pot of money as part of the COVID recovery. And so where that money gets spent is obviously one of the central questions, and will determine whether this is going to be a build back better budget or a business as usual budget. If they're just going to build more motorways, then you might as well have John Key back, because what's the difference?
Right on. Is it a case of, as well, sort of changing the psyche of the New Zealander, like my car, my freedom kind of thing? Like, how do you sort of invest in that? It almost needs to be symbiotic with the availability of the bus and the train, and that needs to work really well when you get someone for the first time getting out of their car. Like, if it doesn't work, they're just going to get straight in their car, you know? So it needs to be spot on. But also, how do they invest in, I guess there's just a bunch of advertising set aside for just trying to convince New Zealanders that, hey, this is the way forward, you know? Is that it?
Part of it, I think that's right, but also part of it is just having fancy new trains. Like, when we did the electrification project in Auckland, I mean, at the time, Gerry Browning was very opposed to City Rail Link, and, you know, the National Party said, you know, no one would ever use it. In fact, the thing got swamped, and the number of users increased dramatically.
We love new shit.
It was fast, it was quiet. What then?
We love the new stuff. Because it's going on the new thing.
Yeah, well, that's right. So if you throw the money and make it new, if you throw lots of money at cycleways and make them really convenient and really safe, then people will use them.
Right.
You know, you think about the Northern Busway. You know, that thing was pretty much at capacity within a year.
Yeah, true. So we're thirsty for it, aren't we?
Able to get in that bus.
I can also vouch for the cycleway, because I live out in Avondale and I commute every day into BFM in the city along the Northwestern Cycleway. And being off the road and on a cycleway is a completely different experience. It's so much more enjoyable.
You don't have to worry
it's
about
ridiculous.
Any random stuff. Is there anything predicted to be in the budget for fixing the Gulf and, like, how terrible our marine situation is at the moment after that huge report we got back the other day?
Yeah, I mean, so when it comes to the marine environment, part of it is money. And part of it is the willingness to regulate the fishing industry.
Right. When you say money, so, is that like the money we get from the fishing industry, or are you saying like...
Well, no, more, you know, like some, when you look at what government needs to do, some things they need to do, they need to throw money at things. Like,
yeah, right.
They need to throw money at takeaways instead of motorways.
Sometimes they've got to say no as well. I see what you're saying.
But some things you just need to regulate. Yeah. So the fishing industry, which continues with these enormously destructive practices, you know, bottom trawling. We're one of the last nations doing this method of fishing across the
South. It's terrible.
Why on earth? Why?
Apparently it's totally screwed heaps of shit as well. It's not good.
It's just that in the past, the fishing industry has been a very effective lobbying force within both Labor and National government.
Right. But also, people don't see it. You don't see, it's not like you're driving past these farms like you do farms, you know, so it's silent.
It's quite hidden.
Yeah.
And so New Zealand First were a key part of that in the last term of Parliament. So one of the questions we really have now is, with David Parker as Minister for Oceans, New Zealand First no longer there, are we going to see a significant change in the regulation of the fishing industry with this term of Parliament in this government? And I'm very hopeful on that, but we need to see it happen. So that's kind of the fishing part. But then the other part, obviously, is agriculture. I mean, New Zealand, you know, we're a food producer, but the way we produce it, it causes enormous environmental harm. And so we need to transition our food production system away from this industrial model to what you could call a regenerative model, but a model that actually protects biodiversity and the environment while producing food. And that's going to be quite a big challenge for us as a nation, because it's not how we set up, and it will require significant government investment as well as regulation.
What does regenerative farming look like? Is it just sort of more hedgerows and planting stuff out, a variety of, I don't know, cattle and...
Eat what you need?
It's a combination of those kind of things, but it's also about much greater biodiversity and much lower intensity in terms of stocking of animals in particular. So, you know, New Zealand's really ramped up the number of cattle that it has dramatically and completely, you know, overwhelmed the system. So that's why our groundwaters are now getting more polluted with nitrates. And our rivers obviously are very polluted. So you need to pull back on the stocking rates. It doesn't mean that animals aren't part of the system, but the intensity of stocking has to be pulled back. And it does mean a lot more diversity in terms of the kinds of things we produce. The handy thing is that globally, plant-based food is taking off.
Yeah, if only we could have been growing cannabis, you know.
That would have been great. There is cannabis. But, I mean, you know, there's a whole world beyond dairy, which New Zealand just hasn't really explored very much. And yet there's a global market for it. We also know we can do it in a way which isn't so environmentally harmful. So we're looking for the government to invest in the transition away from industrial agriculture.
Change is so hard for people, especially if they can't see beyond the breadth of that change into the new thing. You know, it's nobody wants to do it.
I think that's so true. But then if you think about the dairy revolution, it's a land use revolution, right? 25 years ago, we didn't have 6 million dairy cows. So there has been a land use revolution in Aotearoa over the last quarter of a century. And just because we've got all these cattle now doesn't mean we have to have them for the next 100 years, you know. And sometimes when you look at, you know, this came out in the Climate Commission report, unfortunately, when you looked at them, they were assuming that, you know, we've got to keep dairy production as it is now and meat production as it is now. Well, actually, the future isn't determined by what is present. Like, we don't have to have the same level of dairy production in 30 years that we have today. And to be honest, I think global markets are going to move a long way from the traditional things that New Zealand's been producing.
Now, Russell, if we wanted to put some pressure on the government ahead of this budget, which is due out in May, where are the resources that we can find out more about stuff we should be thinking about, or things we could be talking to our local MP about?
There's a bunch of stuff on the Greenpeace website about Build Back Better. We've done a lot of work in terms of the COVID recovery, what it should look like to move away from business as usual to Build Back Better, which are kind of convenient three-letter acronyms. So we put a heap of stuff on the Greenpeace website. We've got, you know, petitions and stuff there, but there's also lots of information about the way that the government can invest to make this transition.
Russell Norman from Green Party to Greenpeace, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to BFM. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
Cheers, mate.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.